chapter 18, John chapter 18. Most of you have your notes. Thank you for that, Abby. I'm going to read a more lengthy passage tonight. Now, don't panic with your notes. There's a lot of notes here. They're mainly scriptures. Now, remember the Gospel of John. Prior to John chapter 18, most of the Gospel of John is unique to the Gospel of John. I can't remember the percentage. I think it's something like 95-96% of the Gospel of John is unique. There's no corollary to it, right? But when we get to John 18 on, you're going to see the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, will give us a lot of insight into what's happening. God just led John to give us some different perspective, but John 1 through 17 were primarily unique information on the life of Jesus Christ. Let's read this passage, John chapter 18, verses 12 through 27. I may make some comments here and there. John 18, verse 12 says this. After, remember, Malchus gets his ear cut off, Jesus heals him, and then they arrest him. In verse 12 it says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. We'll look at that a little bit later. We'll reference back to John chapter 11, which we've looked at in previous months. Look at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did the other disciple. Now what's interesting, I'll just give you a little color commentary. When this house, and there's a church built on the house, you know, the Roman Catholics kind of try to take advantage of every spot that might be, and they build a church right on top of it. But the courtyard is somewhat there, and the stairs leading down are they're the stairs that were 2,000 years old. And so it's likely the courtyard that Peter was in while Jesus was being tried before Annas and then Caiaphas. So that's what it's talking about, verse 15. Let's look at that again. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That would be John. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Now, I'll just give you a little color commentary there. This is breaking one of the laws, that they would not ask you questions that would incriminate you. They would have to have witnesses that would incriminate you, and they were asking Jesus things so they could catch him on his own words, and Jesus responded basically saying, I don't have anything to say here. I spoke openly. You knew everything that I said. Use that as the witness against me. I'm not going to give you a witness against me, though, later. He claims to be the Son of God. That's when they rent their clothes and declared him worthy of death. Verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Verse 24. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Now this, I believe, is that transfer that's happening when Annas sends him to Caiaphas the high priest. Now look at verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately crew. Now we know that in verse 27, that would have been the second time that the cock crew, the rooster crow, we don't hear roosters around here, do we? But it was pretty fascinating when we were over there that we heard you would hear roosters crow. Right? I mean, I know. Okay, you're saying, okay, you city slicker, you know, you don't hear roosters, but I heard roosters crow in Jerusalem, and I'm like, is that twice? You know? Okay, I just thought that was neat because, you know, there are roosters in Jerusalem, right? So they would be crowing, and so that was, I don't know. That, okay, city slicker, I guess that's where it is. Let's now look at your notes. Let's walk through just appreciating and understanding what's happening here, and we'll look at some of the other passages, right? So now, when it says here first, Jesus was first examined by Annas, and then he was by Caiaphas. So let's look at Annas here. I've tried to highlight a few things. Look at John 18, verse 14. It said, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. I was trying to cram all these notes in to two pages, but if I had really done you justice, I would have printed out John chapter 11. So turn back to John chapter 11. I want to remind you of what Caiaphas said. Caiaphas said in John chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 47 of John chapter 11. John chapter 11 says this when everybody's panicked that, you know, the whole world's following Jesus. Look at verse 47. John chapter 11, it says, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. I want you to just ponder on verse 48, because that's their concern. Their concern is, if everybody follows Jesus, there's going to be a revolt. We're going to lose our authority, we're going to lose our power, we're going to lose our place, and we're going to lose our nation. Because the Romans, they didn't like anything to be, ruffled, or they ruled with an iron rod. Now look at verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that is it expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Look at verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together to in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel for to put him to death. So, Caiaphas, evil Caiaphas, that was the leader of the crucifixion of Jesus in order to maintain his power. When it talks about here, and you'll remember my thoughts are this. I've always struggled, but I think I understand it now, and we'll get to heaven. The Lord will say, you didn't understand it. And I don't believe Caiaphas understood what you and I know, that Jesus would die for John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Caiaphas was saying this, that man will die, everything will be just fine. We'll keep our power, we'll keep our authority, we'll keep our place, we'll keep our nation. Interesting. Caiaphas spoke it. He spoke more truth. He spoke the truth that is the only hope for you and I, that we can be born again, that we can be saved from the punishment of our sins. I am convinced, we'll get to heaven and find that out, that while Caiaphas prophesied that, he was dealing with the very immediate, saving their hide, saving their place, and just, we have to just kill that guy. Get rid of him, everything's good. But he didn't realize his. Get rid of him. That's our only hope. So that's what I believe. So you can look back at your notes. That was unique to Annas. And so then look at John chapter 18, verse 19, as he's being examined by him, right? It says this. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. I mentioned, you'll see that in bold. And he said, in secret I have said nothing. Jesus answered him, if I spoke evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? I've just listed, and there are dozens and dozens of violation of Jewish law. But I highlighted these five. They were very interesting to me that I found that were violations when they you know, this mock trial, this trial that was unjust. And so look at just these five. One is, no trial was to be held during feast time. And this was the feast of the Passover. Right? So there was to be no trials. This was a holy time. There would be no trials in Jerusalem. Second, no trial was to be held at night. All of this was done early morning in their nighttime. Third, the accused was not to be asked self-incriminating questions. We see many of those same laws pass into our time. You have the right to remain silent. You know, and they're given what do you call them, the Miranda rights. And there were similar rights that they had that they were not to be asked self-incriminating questions. Fourth, the accused was to be given counsel or representation. We have that law in place now. You know, you have the right to counsel, and we give them that same thing. And then fifth, if the death penalty was given, a night must pass before the sentence was carried out. So what we have here, we have a Thursday night, and so Jesus is going to be on the cross at 9 a.m. For the next 6 hours, he'll be on the cross from noon to 3 p.m. The lights will go out. But he's on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And so all of that, these were significant violations that the Jews, they were in a rush. They were in a hurry. They wanted to get rid of this man because the longer he lived, the more problems they had. So the second part of this was, now Jesus, this was, this little bit that we've looked here was his examination by Annas, who was the ex-high priest, the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Now we will see that he's reviewed and tried by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. You won't see the word Sanhedrin in the Bible. It was 70 elders, 70 of the Pharisees that were of the leadership that would have court. And you would come in and they would try cases by them. It's interesting that typically they had to, each individual had to vote. What's your vote? What's your vote? What's your vote? What's your vote? What you'll see in this is they all in an uproar said, you know, they all kind of voted together. They also violated that principle, that standard that they had there as well. Now let's look at your notes. Jesus tried by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. And it says in John 18:24, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And I mentioned to you, that is probably when they moved him from Annas's house to Caiaphas's house. That is when it appears Peter denied the Lord the third time and their eyes met. Because if you're inside a building, how do their eyes meet and all that? Could have been a window, but probably not. But it was probably on that transport in between the two homes that occurred. Now look at Mark 14:53 in your notes. It said, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. So you understand, this is in the middle of the night, early morning in the middle of the night, and they have them all here. They have them all because, remember, they sent the soldiers and some priests out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they had everybody wait because we're going to get rid of this guy ASAP, right? Mark 14:55. It says, and the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. I don't know about you. These guys are a bunch of morons. I mean, pay people to lie. You know, if they're going to coordinate this, but they believed what they were doing in some sense. They believed that putting this man to death for claiming to be the Son of God, they didn't see their own sin, and they thought surely they'd get people to agree. They hadn't coordinated it, right? They did in some sense, we'll see, but they couldn't find anyone. They couldn't find any witness that agreed. Look at verse 56. We'll keep reading that passage. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. You got all kinds of people lying. None of them agree. And so, verse 57, and there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Jesus was not talking about the physical structure of the temple. He was was talking about the temple of his body, that he would die, be buried, and 3 days later he would have a new resurrected body, but they didn't understand that. And verse 59 in Mark 14, but neither so did their witness agree together. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses, witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Remember this, the Bible says this in Isaiah 53. I'll just turn there real quickly, because it's somewhat of a fulfillment here. Though Jesus did speak at different places, but he didn't speak here. And here's what it says. It says, he was oppressed, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And I'm now forgetting. It's the female sheep that bleeds, right? Right? It's not the male sheep. I'll figure that out. I used to know that. And so, one of them, and so, is it the male sheep that bleeds? Because when it says, it came before her shears as dumb, female doesn't bleed, right? The male does, right? So when the Bible, so that's it. So I just had to look at the Bible, that'd be helpful. When it says that Jesus came before her shears as dumb, it's because the female sheep doesn't bleed. Now, I'm not talking like bleed, like that, not cut me and I won't bleed. That's what I mean. So here he had this fulfillment here, but he held his peace, Mark 14:61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Then it says again, you'll see this again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now this is interesting. That's when Jesus spoke. He cannot deny who he is. Here's what he said, I am. You shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy, what thank ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death, and some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy! Servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So this is when the buffeting of Jesus occurred. Remember, the scourging doesn't occur until Pilate has him scourged. But here's what Jesus is being subjected to. Spit on him. They put blindfolds on him. Describes it like that. And they buffeted him with their open palms. Now this is interesting. He didn't ever break a bone. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. So they buffeted him. They hit him. They mocked him, and that's when all of this begins. We'll continue to look at this mock trial, this kangaroo court, whatever you want to call it, that was not legitimate, that got Jesus to the cross. But it all began first by Annas and then by Caiaphas. And so now, look at the back of your notes. We'll jump into the denial of Peter. Right before that, look at Luke 22. It says, and when they had blindfolded him, right? Talks about blindfolding him, and it talks about they covered his face, and so it kind of gives us some perspective, because they were just, mocking him. They didn't want him to see who hit him. Did covering their eyes change that? No, he knew that. So the mock trial, the unjust trial is now beginning, and it's on a fast pace. By 9 o'clock in the morning, they're going to have Jesus on the cross. And now Peter's denial, look at John 18:15. Said Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest. And so, we can be really tough on Peter. There's no doubt about it. Peter failed a lot. But if truth be known, every believer in this room, we fail a lot. One thing I will give Peter, and we can just follow in his example. He did not let failure stop his pursuit of Christ. He had more public failure, said the wrong thing over and over and over again, he's going to have this public failure of denying Jesus Christ. But he repented, he wept bitterly, and he got back up. If we can learn that from Peter, you will never fail if you don't try. Your life will just be a failure. When you try, you will fail. But remember, we must do it in His strength. And what we need to do when we fail, and when I would say Peter failed, it's really that's just another word for when he sinned, when he denied the Lord, he wept bitterly. He repented. And then the Lord restored him. We'll see that in John 21. It's a beautiful passage. I believe this. Peter is so highlighted because I think Peter is one of the most common believer types that we will meet. That when you try to serve the Lord, those little voices in your head will go, stop trying, you're hurting more people than you're helping. You ever had those voices go on in your head? And if it's up to me, I will hurt more people than I will help. What I have to do is I have to lean on the Lord in His strength. Never listen to the voices. But when you try and pursue anything, there's going to be failure, but we repent and trust the Lord in that as well. I look down at John 18:25. We've looked at this, and it says, we'll just read 18:25, and it says, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, didn't I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now I want you to see something. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that I never saw this before. So I'm going to show you in the scriptures. Did you all know this? Here's what I imagined. And I'm almost embarrassed to admit this. I imagined when Peter denied the Lord the third time. Is that what you've always imagined? It's not what the scriptures say. Cock crew one time as a warning to Peter. Did you all know that already? I'm going to show you in scripture. My wife's not yet. And so I expected her to know that. And but I love that. Here's what I will show you this, and then we're going to see it in the scriptures. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now, Peter wasn't forced to deny the Lord, but once Jesus proclaimed that, you're denying Peter, because Jesus isn't going to be wrong. But do you love this? God was faithful. He gave a warning shot. The rooster crowed once before he had denied Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 14. That is the faithfulness of our God. In the midst of our unfaithfulness, in the midst of our utter betrayal of our beloved Savior, our Savior, our God is faithful. He's faithful to His promises. Let's look at Mark chapter 14. Let's just look at this whole section with the Gospel of Mark. Look at Mark 14:54. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the place of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now let's jump down to verse 66, Mark 14:66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, art, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and look at that. And the cock crew. That wasn't the third time. It was the Lord warning people. Then verse 69. And a maid saw him again, began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again, and that's the second time. And a little after, they stood by and said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. We heard this, you probably heard this before, but Those from Galilee were not revered very well, but they had a unique accent where you could kind of tell. It's sort of like, you know, are you from the South? you can usually tell, right? And just by their accent, right? Not that it's bad being from the South, but it's, you know, it's misunderstood a lot, too. So the Galileans had this accent. And look, you know this isn't new. Look at verse 71. How did Peter identify himself as not a believer? But he began to curse, swear, saying, I know not this man whom ye speak. The second time, Peter called to mind the word Jesus said unto him, where the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me twice. When he thought therein, thereon he wept. I want you just to look down to Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. I've got it highlighted in another. I like this. It really just gives this. When he realized what he had done, he went out and wept bitterly. That's godly sorrow. He just denied his Savior three times. I want you to look down to Luke chapter 22. Let me read Luke chapter 22, verse 54. I'm going to read this whole passage. We'll get to that part that I have highlighted. Then they took him and led him, talking about Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied Jesus, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I know not, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter would be out in the courtyard. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept. Details of this are just precious, right? It is that Peter denies three times. You want to make sure people don't think you're a Christian? Sling the curse words. Again, I'm not trying to put us in a box. Can a Christian cuss? Of course, a Christian can do anything. But it will bother us with this. I'm just telling you, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Peter was clear. He said, oh, you think I'm one of them? Blankety blank blank blankety blank 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 blank. Didn't seem to be any questions anymore. They're like, well, no, they don't talk that way. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Then he denies the Lord, and the rooster crows for the third time. That is our great God. Then what I love is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane that he had his capillaries burst, and in through his sweat glands blood would flow, and the pressure that was on him with the wrath of God being placed upon him even prior to the cross, and the pressure of Jesus and his prayer that said, you know, if you can, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. But after he talked to the Lord, remember, Jesus has been resolute ever since. Boom. Got it, Jesus. Got it, Father. I'm going to the cross. He's resolute. There's been a different spirit about the Lord. But as he's going through all of this, as he's being buffeted, as he's being spit on, as he's being just totally disrespectful, do you love this about the Lord? He never forgot about his precious disciple. Isn't that just amazing? That the Lord, you know, we see this all throughout this trial we'll get there with the cross, where he looks at John and says, John, take care of my mother. I think Jesus, he could have done taking care of that after the resurrection. No, that was the best time to deal with that right then. John, I want you to know this. I love my mother. Take care. At the same time, Peter, this is important for us to remember. Sometimes I can preach in such a way that it is, we do not understand the love of God. I hope in 10 years that I can preach the love of God in such a way that we will be able to grasp the love of God. We fail. We dishonor. We disrespect. We deny in so many different ways in our life. But this is so critical for us to remember. And I struggle to accept this. I struggle to appreciate this. I struggle to grasp this. Because this is not how I operate. This is not how my parents operate. This is not how anybody else in my life ever has operated. People love me more when I do well. People love me less when I'm a loser. That's not God. His love didn't decrease for Peter. His passion didn't decrease for Peter. His care didn't decrease for Peter. He loved him so much. And I believe that the heart of Jesus was more broken than the bitter heart, the crying, and the wailing of Peter. Remember this. Don't listen to the devil. God's love doesn't waver. Our love does. Your parents' love wavers. Your spouse's love wavers. Everybody you've ever met, their love wavers. But don't you apply that. I can almost preach my own testimony too strongly. And I want to preach the grace of God. I believe that my life outside of Jesus Christ is an utter failure. That's the truth. The only thing I've got going for me in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so egotistical, I don't always agree with that. I'm puffed up many times and I take credit for it. That's foolishness. But I want to tell you, I want to grasp it. Jesus loves me at the highest my purpose. His love is unbearable. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yes, he was chastened by the Lord. Did the Lord's love waver? It did. When David ordered the death of Uriah the Hittite. David, the sword never left his home. There were consequences for his sin. But the Lord's love never wavered. Maybe that's how the Lord can say David was a man after my own heart. Because when the Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from Israel. Clearly, daily, we need to confess our sins. We need to repent of our sins. But not because we're trying to earn it. The reason we should confess, the reason we should repent, is because we love Him. Not because we're trying to get Him to love us. It's I've got to reverse kind of my behavior of my life that I am always trying to please people and earn their love and earn their faith.